And this is Generations Friends, Kevin Swanson with you. Executive Director of Christian Home Educators, also a pastor, but I'm raising five children, and I'm a father, and that's why I broadcast on this station. We're in process of raising five children in the fear and nurture of God. And today we want to talk about persecution. We get Voice of the Martyr publications at our home. It makes up an important part of the teaching program that we bring to our children. We want them to know what God's doing in this world and what's happening to the church across the globe. And there are significant persecutions going on right now. And there have been significant persecutions of godly Christians since the beginning of the church. Think about it for a moment. The Roman persecutions took out tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands, for the first several centuries of the church. Then you had the Protestant Reformation. And during that time, significant persecutions in France, in Scotland, the Huguenots, and the Scottish Covenanters were wiped out by the tens of thousands during that period of time. Actually, the first Inquisitions of the Catholic Church date back to the 13th century. There have been a few others. The Japanese Catholics were wiped out. Some 40,000 Catholic Christians were wiped out in the 16th century. There were very few persecutions in the 1700s and 1800s. There were 8,000 Catholics in Korea that were executed in the 1800s. But in the 1900s, yes, the last century, folks, the last 100 years, the vengeance of the human estate and the growing strength of the Muslim religion resulted in some of the bloodiest persecutions in the history of the world. The socialists started persecuting Christians in the French Revolution back in the late 1700s. And then, of course, the Spanish Revolution, Mexican Revolution, the Bolshevik revolutions of the first part of the 20th century wiped out tens of millions. The horror of communism in Russia and China, of course, wiped out millions of its citizens, many of whom were Christians. The Muslims also, during the 20th century, gathered tremendous political force since the humanists took over Europe, and they began their bloody purges of Christians in Armenia in 1915. Yes, that's Armenia, just a little south there of Turkey. The Turks took out some 1.5 million men, women, and children massacred in that country in the first part of the 20th century, and that only began what was to continue as the bloodiest century in the history of the Christian church. Ladies and gentlemen, huge persecutions continue in places like Pakistan, Sudan, and Indonesia. There were an estimated 100 million people. Now, that estimate may be as many as 100 million. Some put it at 70 million, but 100 million people martyred for their faith in the 20th century, 99% of whom were Christians. And folks, that's more than all the wars of the 20th century combined. That's more than all the persecutions put together since the beginning of the world. Folks, the 20th century, a time when more Christians were martyred than any other time or all other times put together in the history of the world. Most of the persecutions came from the powerful communist states and the Muslims. What does this portend for the Christian church? I'll tell you what it portends for the Christian church. The beginning of the most tremendous, unprecedented growth for the church ever. That's the prediction, my friends, and I take it from history. Every time the church has received significant persecutions, it has only established the church. It has only established the faith. So if you're taking out 100 million Christians, you can look forward to an unprecedented growth for the church in the next century or two. The church will grow in its commitment. It will grow in its quality and quantity in the next centuries. We can look forward to this. Well, in 1950, Mao Zedong had an idea. Remember Mao out in China? Yeah, he had a great idea. There were about, 300,000, 400,000 Christians at that time. He said, why don't we persecute the church? Well, 50 years later, now there are 60 million Christians in China. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when the church is persecuted, it only establishes the church in those areas. Well, in just a moment, we want to talk with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, and we want to state us what's happening in the Christian church, persecution-wise, around the globe. That next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org. Also, be sure to check out their bookstore on the south side of Denver on Parker Road.
And folks, we're back on Generations. Kevin Swanson with you today. And also with me on the phone line is Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. Todd is Director of News Service for Voice of the Martyrs. He manages the production of VOM's monthly newsletter. That goes out to about 200,000 homes, and that's a huge blessing, I know, to our home and a lot of others. In his role with VOM, he's met with Christians who face persecution in Sudan, China, Egypt, Turkey, Vietnam, Pakistan, Indonesia, and other places around the world. Hey, Todd, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, Todd, as we look back over the last 100 years, it seems like persecution is on the rise, huge increases in the last 100 years or so. What do you attribute that to? Do you look at maybe the rise in the missionary work over the last several centuries across the globe? Why more persecution?
Well, I think what we're seeing happening is exactly what Jesus promised would happen. You remember he said, the world hates me, and if you follow me, the world's going to hate you too. And so now what we have with the growth of the church, with the church spreading out into new countries, reaching new people groups, we have more Christians. And naturally, they're experiencing exactly what Jesus promised. The people around them, the world around them, is hating them as the gospel moves forward. And so we're seeing an increase in persecution. At the same time, we're seeing the explosive growth of the church around the world.
Yeah, and every time the persecution comes, it doesn't squelch the faith at all. You look at what happened during the Roman times. And now in China, significant increases in the number of Christians in that land. Persecution doesn't really do what the opponents to Christianity hope it will do.
Well, that's really the interesting secret that these oppressive governments and oppressive people don't understand. When you squash the church, it just spreads it out. It makes the church stronger. And so, the best thing you can do if you want to defeat the church is completely leave it alone. But as you say, the persecution, and our founder of Voice of the Martyrs wrote about this very eloquently in Tortured for Christ. He said, persecution has always produced a better Christian. And that's what we see around the world. We see people who are on fire for Jesus Christ, who want to tell everyone they talk to about him. And, you know, when you have churches full of that kind of people, they can't help but be growing churches.
Yeah, and what a lesson for America. We live in a pretty safe and cushy age, and a lot of folks aren't really strenuously living out the Christian life. Is there persecution in America, Todd, do you think, and how should Christians be approaching it?
It's hard to say that there's persecution in America in the sense that we talk about in other countries, in the sense where, Christians are being hunted down, they're being beaten, they're being killed. There's places where people are arrested, say, for an abortion protest, where they're there because of their faith in Christ. They're speaking out for him. The instance at Columbine High School, there seems to be some pretty convincing evidence that those gunmen were targeting Christian teenagers at that high school, people who had been open and outspoken about their faith in Christ. So, it's hard to say persecution doesn't exist in the United States, because you can always point to one or two cases where somebody's being picked on, but it's definitely not at the level that we see in other places like Saudi Arabia, like North Korea, like China. Then the second question after you ask that one is, well, is it going to come here? And that's really the million-dollar question. The answer I always give is, we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but what we do know is that we need to be prepared. And I think particularly for those of us who are parents, we need to be preparing our children so that whatever happens to the church in the United States, whether persecution comes or doesn't come, they're prepared to follow Christ. They're prepared to be a witness for him in their country, in their society, regardless of, you know, who's against them and who's for them.
Todd, let's talk about the perspective that a Christian ought to take to a brother who's been persecuted, whether it's a brother in your local church or whether it's a brother across the ocean. As you view this brother, what's your perspective and what should you do? What does Jesus want us to do with that brother?
Well, I appreciate your use of the term brother, because that's really something that Voice of the Martyrs tries to emphasize as we talk to the American church, is that brotherhood of believers. You know, these are not statistics. These are not foreigners. They're not people who live across the world who we should never think about. This is our family. This is our brothers and sisters that this is happening to. And so our response naturally should be to care for them. You know, I have two brothers. If one of them was in prison, if one of them was being beaten on a regular basis, I would be all kinds of fired up to make that stop, to try to work for their release, to try to work for their freedom. These are our brothers and sisters, and we should have that same motivation, and we should be actively involved in praying for them, in taking action on their behalf. Hebrews talks about, remember those in bonds as though you were right there in bonds with them. And that should be our response. That should be the natural thing when we understand that this really is our family members.
And Todd, as you look at church history, you find some of the most important books ever written in church history. Eusebius, Fox's Book of Martyrs, et cetera, always referred to stories of persecution. This was first and foremost in the published writings of godly men throughout the history of the church. And obviously, these guys want the stories to get out. They know that other brothers need to know what happened to other brothers. And this can be tremendously edifying for the church. And I assume this is what's behind a lot of the work that Voice of the Martyrs does. You guys want to get the stories in front of other people, don't you?
That is a huge part of our work. In fact, in the United States, that's our focus. We want to be a voice for these martyrs. And, you know, the person listening who thinks, wow, you know, they want to tell me about people getting beaten up and stomped on and all that stuff, that's going to be terribly depressing. That's the wrong picture. These are Christians who are standing up for Christ. And, you know, I've had the chance to visit with some of these people. They're not depressed, downtrodden, moping around people. They are excited, on fire Christian believers who are thrilled that they get the chance to serve Christ. They are thrilled that he is so faithful to them. Those are the stories that we want to share with the American church, because it's a challenge to us, yes, but it's also an incredible encouragement to us to see how faithful God is in these most terrible situations. And then you look at your situation where you're at and you think, well, if God is faithful to that person, surely he's going to be faithful to me as well.
You know, Todd, one of our very favorite DVDs we've ever had was The Cross. Actually, a series of DVDs put out, distributed by Voice of the Martyrs. That's where we got it. And, man, we watched that video, and I have never been more encouraged in my entire life. Yeah, they're going through some bloody persecution, some very difficult times in China. Of course, it's reviewing the history of the persecuted church in China. But as I came out of that video, Todd, I can tell you, I was filled with courage and joy. These guys had more joy on their faces than anybody I have ever seen in my entire life. How do these people have so much joy?
Well, it absolutely blows us away. And I remember very clearly, I went to China a couple years ago and we interviewed a lady who had just been in prison for 6 months. And, you know, I'm sort of the journalist. I'm trying to get the story. And so I'm asking about the prison, you know, and I want to know, you know, was it cold? Was the bed hard? Were there rats? And so I say, you know, so tell us about your time in prison. And she gets just this huge heavenly smile on her face, and she says, oh, yes, that was a wonderful time. And I'm just kind of like, no, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear how bad it was. And then I thought, wait a minute. Tell me about how could that be a wonderful time? And she says, oh, the Lord was so faithful to me, and I had such sweet communion with him while I was in prison, and I had a chance to share with the other ladies in my cell. That was a wonderful time. And, you know, as an American, that just freaked me out. It blew my mind. How could prison be a wonderful time? But that's what the message of the persecuted church is. Look how faithful God has been. Even in prison, he was faithful. That's the story. That's the encouragement. And I tell you, when you sit down with these people and you see the joy that they have, and then you go into an American church and sometimes you don't see that same joy, you just wonder, wow, how does that happen? How is it that they have such a sense of joy, such a sense of encouragement?
Well, I think that's the God's modus operandi, is suffering through the cross, but then he brings joy through that. And, of course, Christ was the prototype. He was the first that went through that suffering, but he expects us to suffer as well. Take up your cross and follow me. But in that taking up the cross, he's going to attend it with great joy.
He is, and he provides in those situations. And the incredible thing that happens, I think, is these people live in such a sense of day-to-day dependence on God that they see him come through again and again and again, day after day, in these situations that humanly are terrible, but they see how God works in them. And so they live in that daily dependence, and they live in that daily excitement of, man, I wonder how God's going to come through for me today. And that excitement just, it radiates out of their faces, it radiates out of their conversations, and all the people around them, including sometimes the people who are persecuting them, they want to know how they do it. You know, how are you so joyful? How does this work? And oftentimes they get a chance to witness just because of the joy that they have in their lives.
Todd, why don't you just take a moment and give us a bird's eye view as to what's happening around the world persecution-wise. Where are the hot spots today?
One of the places that is just the worst, as far as Christians, as far as persecution, is North Korea. North Korea is a country where Kim Jong-il wants to be worshipped as a god. He's the dictator there. He wants to be seen as a deity, and so he considers Christians not only to be, you know, the wrong religion or a Western superstition, but it's actually treasonous to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He sees it as disrespecting him, disrespecting the government there. And so Christians are often locked into political prisoner camps. The average sentence for following Jesus is 15 years in one of those camps, but the average life expectancy for a prisoner is only 5 years. So essentially, to follow Christ in North Korea is a death sentence for the believers there. The other country that comes to mind is Saudi Arabia, a country that's an ally of the United States, but does not allow a Christian church building to exist on their soil, a country that doesn't even recognize the possibility that a Saudi citizen could be anything other than a Muslim. And so for a Saudi to stand up and say, wait a minute, I'm a Christian, again, is almost a certain death sentence.
Are the Muslims spreading around the world? It seems to me I've seen a lot of articles from Indonesia and the Philippines and other places. Are we seeing more Muslim persecutions in nations that at one point never had it?
We are seeing more persecution, definitely, and I think there's two reasons for that. One of them is simply the technology. We have access to the information that, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, a person could be killed, and we would never hear about it. We would never hear their name. Today, we can have the story and pictures on our website literally hours after an event happens. The other thing, though, has nothing to do with technology. It has everything to do with God, and that's the fact that in these Muslim countries, the church is growing faster than it ever has before. Now, that's the good news. The bad news, of course, is many of these believers are having to pay a price for their faith in Jesus.
Yeah. What about the differences between communist persecutions and Muslims? Obviously, those are the two major sources today. Is there a difference at all between how Muslims persecute the faith and communists persecute this faith?
I think there is a difference, and one of the main things is, you know, in a communist system, usually it's the government that is doing the persecution. The government says, wait a minute, you're not following the rules, you're not doing what you're supposed to be, we're going to lock you up, we're going to beat you, whatever. In a Muslim society, often the persecution comes from those closest to you. It can be your own family. It can be your own brothers. And, you know, when you think about that psychologically, what it means to be persecuted by a government as opposed to what it means to be beaten or even killed by your own family members, I think, you know, it's a different side of that. And in many ways, I think it would be worse to have your own family coming against you.
Yeah, boy, that can be incredibly painful. Todd, who gets persecuted the most around the world? Do Muslims get persecuted? Catholics, Jews, evangelicals? Who's getting persecuted?
I think, and of course I'm biased, but I think Christians are persecuted more than any other group. You know, when you surf the web and you can get all kinds of information about all kinds of things, and many groups claim to be the most persecuted. But evangelical, Bible-believing, Jesus-following Christians, I think, are the most persecuted group on planet Earth right now.
Do you hear about Catholics being persecuted,
sir? We do. We have instances of Catholics being persecuted. That definitely does happen, I think, particularly in China, where the government wants to control the Catholic Church. There are many places where Catholics are persecuted.
Todd, we just have a couple of minutes left, and I just want to make sure that we get an opportunity to talk about how Christians here in America can help our brothers and sisters. And by the way, there are Christians listening all over the world to this program. How can Christians from other countries help these persecuted saints?
It's a three-step process I really believe in, and the first step is to pray. We don't know all the names. We don't know all the people. We can't go to all the places, but we can get on our knees and pray for them. And I think that's the most important thing. Pray, pray, pray.
And how do we do that? Do we bring it out in the middle of a church service and say, guys, we got to take a moment and pray for our brothers and sisters persecuted in China?
We should be praying as church bodies. We should be praying as Sunday school classes, as Bible study groups, as children's Sunday school classes. All of those should be praying, but also we should pray individually in our own lives, in our own devotional time. Make it a regular part of your prayer time to pray for persecuted Christians. That's the first step. Now, the second step follows after that, and that's, well, you know, how do I do that? Who do I pray for? What, you know, how do I get the information? The Voice of the Martyrs exists to share these stories so that you can pray effectively. One of the things we do, and you mentioned it, our newsletter comes out every month. It's free of charge to any Christian who wants it. It will give you names and faces and stories so that you can pray specifically. One of the things I think that happens if you get into just saying, well, Lord bless the persecuted church, that's easy to do, but it's also easy to get bored with that and kind of forget to do it. But when it becomes a name and a face, and you know the story, maybe you stuck the face on your refrigerator, then it's personal, and it's easy to remember to pray. So you've started praying, and now you've signed up for the newsletter. You've been to our website, persecution.com. You've started to educate yourself so that you can pray more effectively. What's the third step? Well, that's whatever door God opens for you. And, you know, some people, he's going to call you to pack a suitcase with Bibles and go into a restricted country. Some people, he's going to call you to write letters to people who are in prison in other countries. But once you're praying and once you're educating yourself, then you can kind of just wait and see what the Lord opens up.
And I'd like to recommend a time. Every church ought to have a period of time every year where they focus on the persecuted church. We do that in our church. And collect blankets, write letters, bring everybody together and show them a video. And then do something tangible for our brothers and sisters that are persecuted across the world. And we use a lot of your materials, my friend. And I recommend folks getting in contact with you. Be sure to get the newsletter at persecution.com. Todd, thanks so much for just spending some time and updating us as to what God is doing around the world.
Well, thanks for having me, and I just encourage people to continue to pray for the persecuted church.
Amen. And folks, again, let me encourage you to use these materials in your church and with your family. Be sure you include this as part of the paideia, the training, the discipleship of your children. Bring this in. This is what God is doing around the world. Persecution is part of his plan, and he uses it to grow his church. So again, persecution.com is where you can get some great resources, including a neat little newsletter that goes out specifically to kids. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. You can interact with the program by emailing me personally at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. We have folks from the persecuted countries of Vietnam and China and other places that listen to this program at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson again, and I'd like to invite you back again next time as we lay down some vision for the next generation.